he has a plan, because I don't. It's the only downfall of a mic like this. I don't know what to do. I need to talk for just a second. I feel like I'm a little tinny. Like, I feel like I'm in a bit of a can.
What? Now I'm off? Yeah. That is, I think, better. Okay. Let's pray. Because you need it. As do I. So, Father, we are thankful for today. We're thankful for just being with you, being with each other. And Lord, I pray that you would use me, speak through me. Pray that our ears would be unstopped, our minds would be just ready to receive what our hearts are being told by you today. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. I'm really trying to figure out where to start what I'm feeling. That is a really good place to start. I agree. I'm just like vacillating a little here. I think I'm going to start with kind of what I heard in prayer, and then we'll go into some scripture. But this morning, during our time of prayer, which any of you are welcome to come to, it starts at 9:30. You're welcome to be here. But the Lord began to unfold something in my heart that I was like, well, that's kind of neat. But it developed a little more during worship. But before I really get into that, I want to say this. Jesus is everything. He's everything. No matter where you're at, no matter what's going on in your life, listen, if you feel like you're in the dark, he's the light, right? If you feel like you don't know where you're going, he's the way. If you feel like you're trapped, he's the door. You know, I'm like, if you feel like you've got nobody around, he's the good shepherd. And so he's always got a flock. It's like, there's no place, no situation, no thing you can be in that he's not everything. That he's not the answer. Hear this. Philippians 4, verse 6. It says this. Be anxious for nothing. That word anxious in the Greek is the word, I don't know how you say that word. Merim, it's Merimno, I believe is how it's spelled. But it has its root is meritz, which is divided. It is a divided view or a divided mindset. So do not let your mind be divided in anything, but in all things, by prayer and supplication, right? Make your requests made known. Is that how it says it? Overflowing gratitude. But watch this. it says, it goes on to say that He gives us peace that transcends or surpasses, goes beyond our ability to understand. If our mind is divided or our sight is divided off of Him, and we let it go to a situation or a circumstance or a broken relationship or a broken bank account or whatever might try to get our attention divided from who He is, we lose the ability to have peace in any circumstance or situation. The peace that surpasses understanding comes when our attention is not divided. Matt told me to go to the beginning. So Genesis. No, we're gonna go to almost to the beginning. Genesis chapter 3, it's 8 or 9, right in there. That's good enough. And they heard the sound. This is speaking of Adam and Eve. And they heard the sound of the Lord God coming, right, or walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord among the trees of the garden. Then God called out to Adam and said, "Where are you?" And Adam said, "We heard you coming, and we hid ourselves because we were afraid." That word "afraid" in the Hebrew is the word yare, yare, yare. It is a similar word to having a divided focus, a divided mind. But we hid ourselves because we were afraid, because we were naked. The next verse says, God said, "Who told you you were naked? Did you eat of the fruit of the tree?" Right? Like, we know this verse. These are pretty familiar passage. I want to ask you this. Who told you you were depressed? Who told you you were angry? Who told you you were offended? Who told you you were less than? Who told you you were... Do you hear me? When we get our focus off of where it needs to be, we allow ourselves to put on a garment that we were not intended to wear. This is where the Lord began to speak to me in prayer this morning. That many of us find ourselves putting on garments that the enemy hands us and says, "You're broken. You're offended." This is a big one. This is a really big one. You are offended. And what we do is we go, "I don't want to be offended, but I need to be justified. So let me put that on for just a minute." And pretty soon we're wearing something we weren't intended to wear because it feels right. Offense, and this message is not about offense, though I feel like I need to address this a little bit because I feel like offense kills us and we don't even realize where it starts. It's like this is the vision that I feel like I saw was we end up with this heavy, heavy, like thick, wet garment that would never fit unless we had other layers on first, and then all of a sudden we find ourselves being so weighted down by something we don't know where it first started because the garment felt like it was the right fit. I found myself this week saying to Sage, I was dealing with a situation of something that happened a while ago, and we were walking and I was justifying my actions and my attitude because of something someone else didn't do, which I felt like justified me to step in and go, this is not okay. Because it was aimed at me, I felt justified in a dress. I'll just tell you what it was. I'll leave out names of the innocent. But it was stuff that someone else's child had said to me that I felt was completely not okay. And not out of love, but out of a desire for justice, I said, that is not okay. You will not speak to me that way. And probably was more harsh than I ever needed to be. But I quenched something inside of a child because I felt justified. Why? Because I picked up an offense that I was never intended to pick up, but it felt right. Because my opinion was, if you as an adult, you as a parent are not going to deal with this, I will. Look, and you may be sitting there going, well, you probably should have. But if my heart is not in a place of where my focus is on Him and I'm dealing with it out of love, I've got a divided focus and I'm allowing something to steal the peace that was meant to be released into the heart of a child. Does that make sense? This is making sense to me. This is the first time I'm hearing it too. Because I didn't realize that out of a place of putting on a garment that didn't belong to me. Right? I'm not that child's father. Now, I'm not saying we should just let everything slide. I'm just saying if we lose the focus from where it's supposed to be and we allow ourselves to be divided in how we're seeing a situation, we constantly step into a wrong mindset. And we're allowing the peace that's meant to be released from inside of, right? Out of our hearts flow rivers of what? Living waters. If my focus is divided, there's death in that water as well. And it's a mixture. Right? I'm going to, maybe in some of your minds I'm misusing this scripture, but I don't care. The Bible says in Revelation, I wish that you were either hot or cold, but since you are lukewarm, I'm about to spew you out of my mouth. This is Revelation. But the idea is lukewarmness comes from a mixture of hot and cold. If we're mixed, we become something we weren't intended to do that's actually useless. Our words. Do you hear me? I'm speaking of our words. If we allow a mixture to come forth because we want justice versus I want my words to bring life and be the heart of God in every situation, like what if that's my focus all the time? Then when you come to me with your problems or your issues, I don't feel like I need to try to figure out how to fix them. I just need to release the words of life that I'm hearing because my focus is right. Do you see how your focus can even become broken in that? Like it's my job to fix you? No, it's not. Like it's my burden to figure out your problem and how to fix it. It's not. That's Tina's job. No, I'm playing. But do you hear me? Like that is a burden that I just put on a garment that I was not intended to wear. My intention to wear any garment is I'm a son. I'm a son. You're a daughter. Your job is to wear that garment. That's it. Not fixer, not protector, not comforter, not none of those things. Do you understand? I hear the thoughts. Yeah, but you're as a man, you're supposed to be a protector, and you're supposed to. No, I'm supposed to be son first. Whatever comes out of that is coming out of the overflow of knowing my position as a son. Do you know, you may or may not know this, but do you know how many suicides in the United States are men? Any guess? Percentage-wise, any guess?
You actually hit it.
80%. 4 out of 5 suicides in the United States are men. Can I tell you this? There are actually more women who think about it and attempt it than there are men. I know, that's weird, but men usually take a more lethal... I don't want to talk about suicide. I wanted to bring this up because of this thought. Because we don't know who we are, and we don't know whose we are all the time, and we don't understand that there are other brothers around us that are also sons that have inherited the kingdom of God alongside me, which allows me to be able to share something in community or communion or common union with another brother. I feel like I'm carrying this load alone, and I can't speak to anybody about this, and I don't know where to go with this. And my mind begins to become divided because I'm self-reliant instead of reliant on the one who actually can bring a brother into my... Do you understand? So in it, I lose my ability to see anything other than my problem, which becomes so big. My belief, you can do with it whatever you want. This is the way that I see it. I think there are things that are rooted inside of us so deep that Jesus is the only answer for. No amount of counseling, no amount of therapy, no amount of medication, no amount, nothing other than Jesus. I'm not against those things. I'm just saying if we don't start here, there are things so deeply rooted inside of us that we have allowed our focus to begin to divide, that we have to get back to that place of a single view before we can ever get the fullness of who we are. Turn to Acts chapter 9. Let's move a little bit here. This is an interesting story. I think tying these two things together to me, the beginning, Adam and Eve, having a focus to where they realized they were in shame because they were naked all along. But when their eyes moved from being fixed on the one to being fixed on each other and what was happening and the problems and all the stuff, suddenly they realized shame, which didn't exist until they allowed their focus to break. Acts chapter 9, we'll start in, let's just start in verse 1. Then Saul, still breathing out threats and murder, yeah, against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked letters from him to the synagogues of Damascus. These letters were permission, like a seal of approval. Like, I want to go and root out anyone that is part, they called it the way, anyone that is part of the way. Anyone that's preaching the name of Jesus as Lord and Savior, I want to root them out. I want to persecute and kill them. And the high priest said, awesome. There you go. So that if he found any who were of the way, whether men or women, that's interesting, men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. Can you just keep it right there for a second? Did you read what it said, men or women? Meaning women were not silent. Thank you. Yeah. Can I tell you that that is a garment we were not intended to wear? The garment of trying to tell people what women should be silent in church. We put that garment on and we wear it and we justify it through, my opinion, scripture that is misinterpreted, misunderstood, misread, misused, weaponized. Scripture was not intended to be weaponized. In fact, in John 8, I will continue to read this. I just want to, this. John 8, verse 30, I don't know, 4, 32, 34, 30 something. Jesus said, if you abide in my word, right? If you dwell, if you inhabit, if you live inside of what I say, then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Not then you'll have the ammo you need to weaponize my word against someone else and beat them up with my word. Why do we feel, listen, that is a divided focus. That is a divided mind, right? James said a divided mind is no good for nothing. But it is a divided focus and a divided mind that we feel like somehow we justify, I need truth because I'm a truth person. So we justify, I think they're misusing the word, or they're not living the word because they're doing this or they're doing that, or they have apostles and they have prophets, and I think apostles and prophets are gone according to the word that says when that which is perfect comes, that which is imperfect is put away and done away with, and it ceases and it goes away, and so I'm a cessationalist, so I feel like I am obligated to bring truth to this. And we weaponize the word when it was not intended to be used like that. That doesn't set anyone free. If anything, that puts a garment on people that puts them eventually in bondage. I was sitting down here earlier going, man, sometimes I feel like I'm in a straitjacket because I allow this garment to be put on me that I wasn't intended to wear. And it traps me, and the enemy just laughs and goes, here's another one. Here's another one. Here, put this on. Here, make sure. You're probably cold. You need some more clothes. Here's another offense. Here's another problem. Here's another thing. Focus, 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 focus. And pretty soon I'm like, oh my gosh, I feel so weighty, so heavy, so burdensome. And but I'm justifying it because I wouldn't feel this way if. I wouldn't think this way unless. Do you understand? So Paul's breathing out these threats, and he's going to fulfill them because now he has the stamp of approval. He has the letter. He's going to Damascus, right? So, and he's going to take out men, and he's going to take out women. I don't care. I don't discriminate. I'm bringing it. Like, he thought he was doing what was right. Do you understand that? He wasn't like, I'm a murderer. Yeah. He was like, I'm doing the will of God. I'm doing the work of God. Why? Because his focus was divided. He couldn't see who he actually was, who God called him to be, because his focus was, I'm a man on a mission. You can get off track of your relationship with God if you get so focused on what everybody else is doing and what you feel like you should be doing about it. I think this is much of what happens inside of the seven mountains and that stuff. We get so focused on trying to make it to the top that we lose focus on the one that sits on the top of all of it anyway. That's my opinion. Verse 3. As he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly a light shone around him from heaven. Got the picture? Listen, I don't think you do. This is midday. Sun's blazing, shining. This outshines the sun. Like, this is no, like, flashlight in the face. This is brighter than you can imagine. Go on, verse 4. Then he fell to the ground and heard a voice saying, this is the coolest verse in this whole thing in my opinion. Heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Can I tell you in Greek that the name Saul is Sheol, S-H-A-O-L, and it means seeker. The word persecuted, it is in Greek and in Hebrew, the partner word in Hebrew, they both mean to pursue. In Hebrew, it goes on to say like a dog. Like a relentless dog pursues after its prey. You know, like just, I'm going to get it, you know. So, hear this. Seeker, seeker. Why are you pursuing me? There's a turning of the table that takes place, and the hunted becomes the hunter. Do you see it? Why are you... That's actually another word inside pursue, or the another word attached to it is to hunt down. Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Verse 5. And he said, Who are you, Lord? Then the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom you are pursuing. Didn't even know it. Didn't realize it. He's trying to root him out, and the whole time he's a seeker pursuing the one who's actually pursuing him. But he couldn't see it. See, he couldn't see anything but the mission. He couldn't see anything except the drive to deal with these waymakers. These people that are preaching Jesus. I'm going to show them the true might and awe of God. I'm Jesus who, go back. Whom you persecute or persecute, it is hard for you to kick against the goads. This is interesting. I don't have time to get into it, but this is an interesting statement, and I might come back one day, but not today. Verse 6. So he said, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what do you want me to do? Interesting. I mean, it's like all focus. Wham! Right? There is no more like, hey, I'm on a mission. I'm doing the work of God. Got my letter. High priest. We're good. Right? Like, he's just awestruck. This, to me, is the fear of the Lord. Like, he's trembling and he doesn't know what to do. It says he's trembling and astonished and says, what do you want me to do? Then the Lord said to him, arise and go into the city and you'll be told what you must do. And the men who journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no one. Interesting. Then Saul arose from the ground. And when his eyes were opened, he saw no one. But they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. He didn't just see no one. He saw nothing. He was blind. Completely done, can see nothing. He was 3 days without sight and neither ate nor drank. Did we? Oh, yeah. No, you're good. Go ahead. Now, there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And to him, the Lord said in a vision, Ananias. He said, here I am, Lord. Right, ready to go. Marching orders. Ready, let's do it. So, the Lord said to him, arise and go to the street called Straight and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he is praying. Oh boy. And in a vision, this is really cool. In a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias coming and putting his hands on him so that he might receive his sight. I don't know about you, but this is the kind of focus that I desire in my life so much that, like, I think this is why we don't have the dreams and visions and understanding that we long for, because our minds, even in sleep, often are divided. And we have trouble letting go of the anxious thoughts, right? The divided mind that causes us to think about these things, that we're not fixed on this to be able to see things. Like I'm looking at this story and I'm going, this is Saul, who was so legalistic, so against Jesus, in one instant, his sight is taken, and he's so fixed on him that he can actually have a vision about the man who God is going to send to pray for him to receive his sight. That blows my mind. How do you go from being so legalistic I find myself at different times having to fight through the legalism that comes with religion. Because you feel right in your thoughts, and you feel like other people are wrong in what they're doing. Therefore, I have the justification to spout out, that's not okay. They don't believe like I believe. They don't think like I think. They don't... like, somehow I got it all right. I wish. I do. I wish, standing here before you, I could say, man, I am more than 0.0001% right about everything I think about God. I know that's a very small statistic, but can I tell you this? If you think you have God figured out, you're more wrong than I am. I understand that there are things that we can look at and go, I know this about God because it's displayed in the person of Jesus, which is, He died for me. He died for you. He longs for you to understand who you are in Him. Cool. I think I got that right, at least mostly. There's probably something I just said that's a little bit wrong, and somebody could probably tear it up. But do you understand? Like, I'm going, I want to be fixed and focused so much on Him that even my religiosity dies. Even my religious need to be right and need to be heard and need to be, you know, whatever, is lost in the fact that God is showing me something that is far more important than me being right, or me knowing the right way, or me yada yada, or whatever. So he had this vision, received his sight. Then Ananias answered, Lord, I've heard about this guy. I've heard from many about this man. How much harm he has done to your saints in Jerusalem. Like, this is common knowledge. People are talking about it. People are like, look out for Saul. Be careful what you say when you're in the temple. Be careful what you say when you're out in public, because
man, there are people, there's spies, there's people reporting back to Saul, Saul's showing up, he's got legal precedent, he can kill you, he can put you in jail, he can whatever, just be careful. He's heard about these things. So verse 14, and here he has authority from the chief priest to bind all who call on your name, verse 15. The Lord said to him, go, for he is a chosen vessel of mine, to bear my name before Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel. Wait. So you're going to use me to go and pray for this guy who's done all these terrible things so that he can outdo everything I've ever done? Nah. He didn't say that, but that's probably what I would think. I hope not. But you understand? Like, he could have easily said that. Wait a minute. That's not fair. Sometimes we lose sight of, I did nothing for my salvation. That's not fair. You did nothing. How fair is that? You didn't die on a cross. You didn't live a sinless life. You didn't have all your friends turn their back on you. You didn't. Right? You didn't. I know we got it all mixed up and think that we're the ones who chose him. He chose you first. We loved him because he first loved us. No one can come to the Father except the Son drops him. You did nothing. I did nothing. And yet we stand and go, it's not fair. I've heard this before where people get jealous of people who get saved, been saved for like 5 minutes and suddenly they're leading a crusade. And they're like, that's just wrong. Why? I get that a gift given too soon can actually be detrimental to someone, and I'm not taking away from that. I'm just saying, like, why do we think we have the ability to tell God what to do when it's His plan? Like, Ananias is going, you know, this guy, I get it, he's your guy, but you know he's killing people. You know he has authority to do so, right? Yes, but I need you to go because I've already given him a dream and he's waiting for a man named Ananias to come. Right? There wasn't another man on another block named Ananias waiting for Jesus to come. And if Ananias doesn't do what Ananias is told to do, if he has a broken, divided focus and says, that's not fair, right? It doesn't just impact him. It impacts Paul, which impacts nations, which impact. Do you understand? I totally understand that God is sovereign. I get that God will figure it out. I get that. But at the same time, He uses flawed vessels like me and you. That if we don't change our focus and we don't discard the garment of that's not fair, or I don't like this, or I'm offended, or I don't want to, or why me, or how come this is happening to me again, or I did all of this and yet God didn't do that, and we garment, God, if we don't shed those garments, we are so weighted down that we can't hear God say, I need you to go so that I can equip another one of my sons. I need you to go so that I can bring healing to one of my daughters. I need you to go, right? Moses is standing in the desert. Bush catches on fire. But it's not being consumed. So Moses is like, I gotta go check this out. He goes over near it and he says, God says this. This is how he says it. I have heard the cry of my people and I am going to do something about it. Right, I've come to do something about it. Now you go. Moses is like, whoa, wait, what, me? I can't speak. I'm not very good at speeches. So he gives him Aaron, right? Aaron apparently must be a little better spoken. But I love that God said, I've heard the cry of my people and I'm here to respond. My response is, you go. Right? He didn't go, I've heard the cry of my people and I'm going to show up in Egypt and I'm going to be a pillar of fire and a cloud and I'm going to speak to them out of the cloud. Right? He didn't do that. He said, no, I showed up. My showing up is you going. What if, I mean, I get that Moses tried to have a divided focus, and God's like, I got an answer for that too. Moses was like, oh gosh, okay, I gotcha. My point is, God will show up however He needs to show up for you and I to respond to Him the way He designed and desires for us to respond to Him. Sometimes it's in a bush, sometimes it's in a cave, sometimes it's whatever. Verse 16. For I will show him how many things he must suffer for my name's sake. Wait a minute. I'm responding to God. I'm doing everything He told me to do. I'm standing before Gentiles and kings and Israelites and I'm proclaiming the gospel of Jesus. I stopped killing people. Put my guns down. Right? Whatever first century guns look like. Anyway, I put all those things away and now I'm serving the one true God. And I gotta suffer? We got to move for time. Verse 17. And Ananias went his way and entered the house. Laying his hands on him, he said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus who appeared to you on the road as you came, He sent me that you may receive your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. I find that super interesting. Immediately there fell from his eyes something like scales, and he received his sight at once, and he arose and was baptized. So when he had received food, he was strengthened. Then Saul spent the days with the disciples in Damascus. There's a whole bunch here. I really wanted to get into him, the next story of him being lowered by a basket and yada yada, but not today. Here's what I really feel like today is all about. I started with the whole garments thing, but really this is all about fight. Saul had his sight captured where he had no choice. He couldn't see anything except what God was showing him. But what God showed him, it was good and it wasn't good all at the same time. Right? I will show him what he must suffer. So he was showing him healing and blessing, but he was also showing him difficulty and suffering. Right? We wonder sometimes how Paul wrote 2/3 of the New Testament, how much of his life was chaos and craziness, but he pursued and pressed through and right, he never lost sight. Even in the midst of shipwreck and being beaten and being stoned and being persecuted and lowered down baskets, hiding and being in jail, being in stocks, seeing crazy miracles, but yet being pursued and chased his whole life after that. He said yes, and he said yes, and he said yes, and he said yes, over and over. And then he penned things like we read in Philippians. I found out the secret to peace that surpasses understanding. I'm paraphrasing, but this is, he could have written it this way. I found the secret to peace that passes all the ability to understand it. And it is not what you think. It is a singular focus. It is a undivided mind with eyes locked and fixed on the one who sent me. It is not being anxious or afraid or fearful of anything because my eyes are locked and my mind is set and I'm running a race. Do you understand? Like I'm going to take all kinds of stuff he said, but I'm fighting the good fight. I'm running like a marathon. I'm not running in a sprint. I'm not just in this for just trying to get to here. I'm getting to there because this is temporary, but that's eternal, and that's what I'm running after. And he's called me, and he's pulled me, and he's called me his son. I was the chief of all the Pharisees, and I was a Hebrew of Hebrews, but I realize now that I'm the least of the apostles, and I'm nobody because my eyes are fixed on him. My reputation is pointless, and it's no good. It doesn't matter what they say about me. It doesn't matter what they want to do to me. What matters is my eyes are locked and focused on the one. It doesn't matter. I've learned to, listen, he said this, I've learned to abase and I've learned to abound. I've learned to be rich and I've learned to be poor. I've learned what it is to be persecuted and I've learned what it is to not be persecuted. I've learned what it is to have joy and peace overflowing. I understand the kingdom of God. Right? I mean, there's so, why? Because I'm locked and I'm focused on the one. Singular focus. Slave and the son grow up in the same house and there's no difference until they get old enough to realize who they are. When they get old enough to realize who they are, they suddenly begin to wear different clothes. They suddenly begin to operate in a different way, and the son has an inheritance where the slave does. Are we a slave to religion, divided in our focus, living in anxiety and fear, or are we a son and a daughter of the King, carrying the inheritance we've been given through the price that Jesus Christ paid for me and paid for you, which allows me to have a focus on the one who did everything for me? No matter what he calls me to, no matter what hardship I might be in, no matter, right? If my focus is on him. Sometimes I think, I know we typically pray for scales to fall off our eyes, but sometimes I think we need scales on our eyes so we can't see anything else around us but the one who called us. Sometimes I think we need to be blinded by the majesty of who he is. Sometimes I think we need to like not just sing worship songs but mean them from our heart. Okay, all the time. Sometimes I feel like we get lost in all the fluff and stuff and don't know how to get through it to this point because we're divided. So this is what I want to do. This is how I feel like we need to respond. And let's see how much rebellion rises up in you. Nobody's what's the word I'm looking for? Everybody has to do this. Nobody is exempt. There's the word I was looking for. I knew I brought you here for a reason. Somebody stand up. Listen, there's nothing magical in what we're going to do. This is not voodoo ritual weird stuff. This is just for our own ability to be able to recognize there is not one of us sitting in this room that has not put on some sort of garment or another at some point. That maybe you're carrying, maybe you're not. Maybe you feel like you are floating on a cloud, and that's great, cool, whatever. Teach me how. I think we all need to shed some garments, some of us more than others. That weight. If you feel like your peace is interrupted, you struggle with finding peace in situations, I'm telling you. telling you, you've got a garment of some sort on. It's a divided focus. It's not that we run around with our heads in the clouds or our heads stuck in the sand or sirens. It's that we, I say that because hard situations grab you at times, but it's what you do with it. It's kind of, you ever heard all sin starts with a thought? The thought is not the sin, it's what you do with the thought that creates the sin. Do you understand? So what we do with the anxious things, or we do with the difficult things, or we do with the dark things, what we do with those is what creates either a divided focus, right, or a singular focus. So I want us just to, I want you to close your eyes. Don't pay attention to anyone around you. And just pull off whatever garment. And maybe you don't know what it is. Maybe the Lord needs to show you. I've got a whole bunch of them. Do you want to use one of mine? Don't. I just declare over you today the weights, the burdens, the difficulties, the divided focus is being lifted and broken. I pray for a lightness. I pray that that heavy, burdensome weight would be broken and taken off in Jesus' name. Lord, some of us, even maybe like I was feeling earlier, feel like we're in a straitjacket and we can't get it off. I pray that we would open our mouths, especially as men, that we would open our mouths and say, I don't like this thing that's binding me and I need help undoing the lashes because I feel like I'm alone. Pray, Father, for men to build relationships in such a way, Lord, that we break this terrible disease of suicide off of the men. Lord, hopelessness, I release hope into your hearts, hope into your lives, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, that there is no way around or through this without you. So we put our attention, our focus, our gaze completely on you. All situations and circumstances and things that we're going through or not going through, where we choose to look to you, the author and finisher of our faith. We thank you, Lord. Strengthen us and bring us courage and boldness to step into what you're calling us to be and do. Let us be like Ananias, Lord, that our focus is on you and we'll go anywhere you want us to go and pray for anyone you want us to pray for. Speak forth life and love and your kingdom to whoever you desire for us to speak to. Our focus is on you. In Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. If you need prayer for anything further, I just invite you to come and receive prayer. If not, you're dismissed. Have a blessed week.